As I was looking at this scripture, it just came to mind, that question just sort of stopped me in my thinking and in my preparation. You know, what does this mean? And that probably would have been my question too. Maybe you can think about a time when you were in a situation and you said, what is this all about? What does this mean? What's happening? And so as I thought about that, I thought, well, what does this question mean for us today? Well, I think it means today what it meant back then. It means that God is doing exactly what God said he would do. He's pouring out his Spirit on all people. All people can receive the Holy Spirit. People in denominational and non-denominational churches. Can Jews receive the Holy Spirit? Yes. Can Muslims receive the Holy Spirit? Yes. How about the Inuit of Alaska, of Canada, of Greenland, and Russia? Can they? Yes. What about the Quakers or the Amish? What about the Mormons? What about Native Americans? All yes. God said, all people. Every section of the human race will experience this visitation of the Holy Spirit, which first came in Jerusalem at that first Pentecost. No exceptions. Centuries before, the prophet Joel said what would happen when God poured out his Spirit. He said, your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. And not just on some classes of people, not just on some socioeconomic classes of people. He said, even on my servants, both the men and the women. Now look at this. Four groups are mentioned in verse 17. Old men and the other three are all young. Sons, daughters, and young men. Now, who's in the old man group? Don't answer that. Put your hands down. But it's not limited to these. Just because names of groups are mentioned, it doesn't mean that it's limited to that. It's not implying that males will do 75% because males are three out of the four mentioned. We don't interpret it that way. It's making two points for us here. The first is that in the culture of the East, the wisdom of the aged was always prized, most of all. Okay? But now, in the New Covenant, the baseline is not longevity only, because there still is a place for the elders, the old men, okay? But the new baseline is the supernatural operation of the Holy Spirit. What a change that must have been for the culture of that time to hear that. Here's the second thing, that it's not only for the young now, but for the young later and for the next generation and for the next generation. Your sons and your daughters, your sons and your daughters, your family lineage all the way down. Note also that women are included in prophesying. We know, as we said in our prayer earlier today, we know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other women, they were gathered, those with the disciples there in the upper room, Acts 1, chapter 14. Everything that is in the second chapter of Acts applies to women. Everything. You know, one of the problems is that there's been an overemphasis on prophesying. And there's been an overemphasis on that as just speaking mysteries or just as predicting the future. And as a result, it's been a spiritual gift that's been misused and misunderstood. But the gift and the nature of prophecy is that it speaks to people. It speaks to people at that time and down the long road as well. So what does all this mean? Okay, let's just look real quickly here at three primary purposes of prophesying. Okay? And for this, we turn to Paul. Paul was one of the focuses of Vacation Bible School, his dangerous journey. And Paul would write, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Very important statement by Paul. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, and especially the gift of prophecy. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. So here's the first purpose of prophesying. Paul said the gift of prophesying edifies the church. It edifies the church. Edify is a word that sounds out of date. We don't use that in our regular conversations, do we? But most of us know what an edifice is, right? What's an edifice? It's a building. It's a building. The spiritual gift of prophesying builds up the body of believers. It builds up, it uplifts, it improves, it strengthens, it educates, it guides. That's what prophesying is about. I've seen this at work in our Vacation Bible School. People of different ages building up our children, helping to strengthen their faith, guiding them in their relationship with Jesus, guiding them in their relationships with one another. You know, if you love the Lord and if you love the church, you'll want to edify, you'll want to improve, you'll want to, you know, enlighten and educate one another and be part of the group. And in order to strengthen and build up the church today, we need a spiritual gift that spiritually and specifically does that and is accepted and is allowed to do that. So Paul said the gift of prophesying edifies the church, it builds up the church. Okay, here's the second thing. Another purpose is to encourage. To encourage, to stir up. The old biblical word is to exhort. Okay? In several of Paul's letters, he writes, he says, now therefore encourage one another with these words. That's that spiritual gift of prophesying. I like to think of prophesying as severe encouragement. Okay? Prophesying is severe encouragement. Ongoing, deep, continuous personal and spiritual support. Okay? Let me tell you, if you have a friend in your life who expresses that ongoing, continuous encouragement and building you up, you are blessed. You are blessed. We've had a very encouraging spirit at Vacation Bible School. And as I talk about this morning, I know that all of us need encouragement in different areas of our life. Maybe you know someone this morning who needs some severe encouragement, who needs some severe cheering up in their life. That's part of the spiritual gift of prophesying. It's sharing good news, sharing encouraging words, even in the midst of a hard time. And we're fortunate here at Bethany to have people that have that spiritual gift of encouragement and prophesying. Here's number three, another facet of this gift of being able to prophesy. Again, it's not just about predicting the future or talking about just mysterious things. That's an aspect of it, but that gets overplayed a lot. It's still important, still very important for the life of the church. But here's a third thing. It's the spiritual ability to be able to stir up. To be able to stir up, to motivate, might be a more modern word to say, and even to admonish, which sometimes can be the severe warning that a person needs or even that the church needs to hear at times. So it can be a severe encouragement as well as a severe warning. Think about the times in your life when you've had to give a word of warning to someone. And you did that in a fairly easygoing way. Now, be careful now when you do this. Just, you know, be very careful about this. I want to warn you. Things may not appear to be what they seem. That's one type. There's also the other kind that says, don't step out in the traffic. Don't touch the hot stove. You know, whatever else it might be, there's that severe aspect too. So it can be severe encouragement as well as a severe warning. Maybe you have somebody in your life. Maybe you can think of a time when somebody loved you and you knew their love and you felt their love and their care, but they were giving you a word of warning. Don't do this. I hope that you won't choose this. Can you remember that time? Maybe you were the one who gave that word of warning, or maybe that word of warning or even rebuke was given to you. That's also part of that spiritual gift of prophesying. We have that because God knows that we need people in our lives who care enough to love us deeply and who care enough to warn us deeply. And it takes both, doesn't it? It takes both to keep us on the right path. So I want to ask you this morning, do you have a truth teller in your life? Do you have someone in your life who will just say, I love you, but let me tell you this. This is what I'm seeing. I might be wrong, but this is what I'm seeing, and I'm concerned about you. And I would say that if you have a truth teller in your life, and it's done out of love and not done out of condemnation, but done out of caring, you're a blessed person. You're blessed. Even though it's sometimes hard to hear that. It's hard in our spirit to get a rebuke, isn't it? But if we know it's done in love and it's not done in condemnation, and Paul would go on to write, prophesying is not about condemnation. Paul says there is no condemnation for now those who are in Jesus Christ. So those things, building up, encouraging, motivating, I saw those things in our vacation Bible school this week. And I think that it was in the power of the Spirit with the gift of prophesying that Paul could embark on his dangerous journey to Athens. As we step into this third year together, I'm going to lead you the very best that I can. I'm going to have my ear to the rail on what the Holy Spirit is doing and on what God is doing every day. And Bethany is blessed also to have leaders in so many different areas and departments and in ministries as well. And we'll do this together. We'll do this together. So continue to show up. Continue to be present. Encourage those that you haven't been seeing to come back. And do that with a kindness and a gentleness, but also with that urgency as well. And I want to thank you again, as Chris said, thank you for giving your time and your talent and your money and your heart for Vacation Bible School this year. Amen.